Well, yeah, so my name's Mitch, for those who don't know me. Yeah, I think I just wanted to also give a little shout out to Stephen today, who jumped on guitar for the first time. Thanks, man. I love it. It's just stepping out, which is just amazing. So yeah, a little bit about me. So today I just wanted to talk a bit about, I guess, being intentional with our lives. So about me, what I do for work is I am a workplace health and safety consultant, which sounds fun, doesn't it? I chat with people from different businesses, different industries, and I basically try to help them be safer. I basically train and coach them how to improve their processes in what they do. A lot of that's by just documenting and formalizing stuff that they're already doing. So it's just putting in, I guess, good practices to help them improve and be, I guess, as safe as possible. And what I see with clients that I work with, I guess, two main groups, those who see progress and see the fruit of what they're trying to do, and then those who don't. So those who are active, those who book in sessions, those who prioritize things, and then the other group of people who just want to delegate all responsibility away from themselves, who want to just forsake any duty of care, any liability for themselves, and just put it on somebody else. And a lot of that just comes down to a lot of these practical things that I want to talk about today. But I thought just with that, I'd bring it back to the Bible, which is always a great thing when preaching. So I wanted to include that with the story of Esther. So I'm going to just give a really quick summary, because there's a lot to contain in this book. So the story of Esther, for those who don't know, Esther was this Jewish girl in the Old Testament, in the time of, I think, King Xerxes. And with that, the king was this guy who, I don't know, just had so much fear surrounding him, that had this authority that if you made one wrong step, you could be killed instantly by what the king wanted, or these rules around him. But the king was lonely, he wanted a wife, so what does he do? He holds his beauty pageant. And it's a lengthy process. It takes over a year for all these girls, the most beautiful girls in the land, and they all do this beauty pageant, and Esther, I guess, is seen as the one with the most favor, right? She's the one that the king likes the most, and gets married and becomes queen. So she's this Jewish girl that gets promoted to this really high place. And then, I guess, the story progresses where she learns about this plot through one of the king's officials to basically exterminate and get rid of all the Jews, her people, which obviously is very, very confronting. And so Esther's faced with this situation where she's in this really, I guess, quite high place, but yet even for the queen in that land to make a wrong step could still mean certain death. If she went and approached the king without her being called upon, it could have absolutely resulted in her execution. And so it's this really tricky time, but basically the summary of it is she goes to the king and saves her people by telling her of this evil plot that happened. So some points I just wanted to go through there, and I really encourage everyone to read through the book of Esther. There's a lot of absolute gold in there. So that's just like the quickest summary I could do. But some quick points there. I mean, she had courage to approach the king. So talking about being intentional, she had courage to step out, and she understood the gravity of the situation. Again, approaching the king without that invitation could absolutely result in her death, which actually happened to the previous queen, well, at least a divorce. His previous wife did something that he didn't approve of. So absolute courage there. She had preparation and planning. Before approaching the king, she spent 3 days fasting, and she got as many of her people as possible, all her handmaids, everyone, to fast for 3 days before approaching the king. So when she found out about this plot, she's like, I need to do something. just understanding that gravity there. So fasting for 3 days and really praying and seeking God's wisdom and how to be, how to act, how to best approach the situation. Strategic timing. Esther didn't rush into it like we just mentioned. She really thought through her process there and presented her request to the king in, I guess, the best possible way. And then the fourth point I have here is she was sacrificial. Again, she knew that this could be, again, certain death for herself, but through that sacrificial step, just knowing the gravity of the situation, knowing that she needed to approach the king, I think is something that we can all definitely take on board. So bringing it back to us, I think being intentional is something that I've very much been challenged by, and it's not something that I guess you would say I practice what I preach, in that it's something that I'm always wanting to improve on myself. So I think some key things I wanted to talk about today with relating it back to us is that this doesn't have to be these massive issues that are going on in our life. It can be right from the things that are going to, I guess, immediately impact our life, or long-term goals. So whether it's a life or death situation, or just a, I would like to be more like Christ with what we're doing. Being intentional, this flows into our work life, it flows into our family life, it flows into our faith journey, our friends, our relationships. So we need to have purposeful decision making, to be intentional in our relationships, to balance priorities, realize how this will impact others, and I guess it's putting faith in action. So that's what I really want to leave everyone here today from this, I guess, quick little devotional talk, is just how to actually put some of these things back in action to make it really practical. So it's always great to start with a risk assessment, which is so that's what I do every day. All a risk assessment is in practice is identifying what's going on. So what do you want to address? Again, is it a character trait? Is it something where you're lacking a fruitiness, call it fruit of the Spirit? Is it one of the fruits of the Spirit that maybe you're lacking in that you want to improve on? Is it an addiction? Is it some relational issue that you're wanting to work on? So it's identifying the area of life you want to work on, because none of us are perfect. And there's always stuff to improve on, to be more like Christ. So identify, realize what can go wrong if nothing changes. So for me, this has been, I guess, a bigger deal, because it's, at certain periods of my life, I'll look and go, oh, I think I'm doing okay. There's obviously areas I could improve on, but there's certain things that I see, oh, if I don't make a change now and put in a good habit, in 10 years' time, I won't see any results in something. I'll just be exactly the same, and that's not what I want. I want to continually grow. So realize what can go wrong if nothing changes. This, again, if this is an anger issue that's going on, or an addiction that's you may think is only mild. So, well, if nothing changes, where's that actually going? Are things going to stay the same, or is it going to get worse? So realize what can actually go wrong. Prioritize what's most important as well. So give yourself a risk rating. Is it low, moderate, or high? What's going to happen there? And then put in our lovely control measures. So act. These are things we need to be doing. So a bit similar to, I think Nate last year had a great little chart talking about behavior and all that. So I think that's something that's really, really great to be able to do. So act. Put in place practices towards achieving those goals. So forming new habits. My encouragement is to, again, not just view this as surface level, as just, oh, I want to be a bit better at this, and a bit of like a self-help talk. But it's something deeper. Using Esther's example, some of this stuff has the power to transform our lives. It might not be short-term, it might be long-term, but just putting in things, practices to make us be more like Christ, to show more fruits of the Spirit. one thing for me, and it was very funny. So my commute to work, I spend an hour in the freeway traffic, which is lovely. And so I was like, oh, my road rage is getting a bit bad. So my lovely wife got me, was it for Christmas? A little air freshener that hangs over my mirror that's a little cartoon Jesus that says, I'm watching, or what would Jesus do? I saw that, yeah. Helps keep me in check. But like little things like that, like it can be, look, if there's, you know, if people are really struggling and going through really serious issues, obviously, and if there's anything you can do to form new habits and get out of that, absolutely. But for a lot of us, it's, you know, obviously we all go through things, but sometimes it's just those little things. Because that road rage example, I think a lot of people can relate, but like there's, if nothing changes with that, there's obviously anger stuff going on, and then that can seep into other areas of life. So it's, again, just looking at what can actually happen there. All right. Yeah. Actually sitting down and, yeah, looking at each area of your life, seeing if nothing changes, what could this look like? To be more like Christ. It's not just a suggestion, it's our calling to be more like Christ. So with this, it's trying to see, look and really do a great self-examination and see which of the fruits of the Spirit could I be? Could I be more patient? Could I be more kind? Look at your relationships, look at your work life, look at family, look at serving, whatever it is, finance, every area. It's just seeing, could I be more fruity? And let's take a moment and again be honest with ourselves, like just that self-examination to identify those traits that don't align with Christ. Whether it's pride, selfishness, anger, or any other vice, I think it's confronting them with courage and stepping out and forward. Again, it's, I think, looking at every area of life. So no matter what, we're all going to go through those trials, those storms, those really intense seasons where just it all seems to be caving in around us. And sometimes there's not much we can do. So a lot of this, it might be some prep, because we know we're going to encounter those times. So it's maybe a bit of prep, seeing where your faith is. Like Joe was just saying, faith is so important. And to have it set on the rock and not just in a pile of sand, actually have a firm foundation in who God is, I think is so important. So that's where I just wanted to leave us today, a bit of an action call. But again, it might be these really minor things, but just as you're going throughout your week, to see, maybe catch yourself out when you're doing something that maybe you don't like. Or just be, I think, encourage you to be a bit more self-aware of how you're behaving in certain situations, how you're engaging with everyone. Just be more like Christ. All right. Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Follow us on Instagram at The Lift Church or on Facebook at Lift Church Perth. That will give you all the up-to-date information about what's happening in the life of our church. Thanks again for listening. God bless.